The Meaning of Lif. This was the pocket-sized dictionary which Douglas co-wrote with John Lloyd during their stay in Malibu, and it was certainly a dictionary with a difference. John Lloyd explains.
It's a little dictionary of experiences that are common in life, but nobody's attached an actual piece of vocabulary to. I mean, for example, an eely is the first tiniest inkling that something's gone terribly wrong. That's a very Douglas-y one. Or a kerry, the small twist of skin which separates each sausage on a string. You know, these things are vital that one knows what these bits are called. I mean, pimlicos, for example. A pimlico are those strange, misshapen metal or plastic objects that you find in drawers, you know, that they used to be a part of something else. We all own hundreds of them, but they go without notice, you know. You know, what's a bodmin? A bodmin is when a large group of people pay a bill after a meal, and somebody says, I only had the prawn cocktail and all that kind of stuff, and you pool all your money, and it's always slightly less than the bill actually comes to. That's the bodmin, the little discrepancy.
In his series, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Future, part one was devoted to demystifying the way in which music could be accessed on the internet. Here are some of Douglas's thoughts on the question of copyright and freedom of access to music on the net.
As you may know, MP3 is a method of taking a digital recording and compressing it in such a way that for a small, some would say unnoticeable, loss in audio quality, the file ends up about a tenth of the size of the original, and therefore much more easily transferred over the web. So everyone can share commercially recorded music with each other without all the tedious business of going down to the record store and actually paying for it. Some people say this is the biggest threat the music industry has ever faced, and others say it's its biggest opportunity. Now, I don't want to take up too much of a partisan position here, but obviously the people who are most upset about MP3 and Napster, which is the net-based distribution system that allows people to share music files with each other, are those in the record industry who have the most to lose. They, of course, are the ones who collect the money from CD sales and then pass on a proportion of that money to the artists. It is, as any musician will tell you, a small proportion. But as the recording industry will argue, a small proportion is better than nothing, which is what Napster appears to be offering. It'll come as no surprise to you to learn that there is often not a lot of love lost between record companies and their artists. You ask the artist formerly known as Prince, or Prince for short, or George Michael. So many artists see the opportunities of setting up a direct relationship with their audience, whatever the risks, as an intoxicating freedom. But of course, this freedom comes at a price, or rather not at a price. That's the whole problem. At the moment, the net is a good place for buying stuff you would normally buy with a credit card, typically things that cost more than £5 or so, a camera, a TV, books or CDs. What it's less good at is letting you buy stuff that you typically pay for with the cash in your pocket, a bar of chocolate or a cup of tea. This is the dead zone of e-commerce. Partly because nobody wants to buy a cup of tea over the web, but also because nobody wants to go through the palaver of a credit card transaction for 10p or 20p, and the credit card companies wouldn't like it if you did. But if you agree that all of the traditional cost of manufacturing, delivering, and marketing a CD is now redundant and should be removed from the equation, then what you're left with, what the musician gets for each individual song, falls slap bang into that dead zone. We don't yet have the technology for micropayments. Well, that's not quite true. For some time, people have been trying to persuade us to adopt digital cash stored on smart cards. Mondex is one example. Digital cash would exactly solve this problem of micropayments on the net, but unfortunately, we've felt that it has to get accepted in the real world first, where, of course, we've already got perfectly good coins and notes. They ran a trial in Swindon, trying to get people to use digital smart cards in shops, and of course, it didn't work because nobody saw the need. I remember once hearing a report from a fish and chip shop in Swindon. They sent down some boneheaded reporter from Radio 4, and I mean that, as Barry Humphries would say, in a good way, who effectively said, "Gorlummy gov, what will those stupid boffins think of next?" And nobody saw the point. Digital cash is what we need to pay for stuff on the internet. So, although it's true that people are passing around commercially recorded music for free, I think it's premature to label them as thieves if you haven't even provided them with a method of paying for it yet. Still, I'm only speculating, like everybody else. Here's another thought. Although many people are getting very exercised at the prospect of new technology destroying copyright, it's worth remembering that it was only the previous wave of technology that gave us the ability to protect it in the first place. Copyright is a function of technology. It isn't necessarily an inalienable human right.
N brings us to the news headlines. And in 1977, it was, like Weekending, one of the comedy sketch shows that Douglas tried writing for. Unfortunately for him, the headlines was a topical program all about up-to-the-minute news, so meeting deadlines for this program was of paramount importance. Records exist to prove that Douglas managed to write 5 gags and 2 phone-in quickies over the space of 4 programs, but the weekly pressure to deliver on time proved too much for him. No recordings of these programs exist in the BBC archives, so pausing only to acknowledge Douglas's brief attempts at topical humour, we move on to O.